This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Friday, the 3rd of July, and the time is 6:30 a.m. in New York. Equities were mixed. The S&P 500 was unchanged, while the Nasdaq fell 1.6%. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 rose 30 basis points, and Switzerland's SMI gained 1.7%. Japan's Nikkei 225 added 1.5%. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.145 US dollars, and 1 US dollar buys 0.80 Swiss francs. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield is 4.48% and was unchanged on the day. Brent crude is trading at $72 a barrel after rising 40 basis points, and gold is trading at $4,189 an ounce after gaining 1.5%. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. What's been driving the weakness in commodity prices over the past 2 months?
Commodity prices have fallen over the past 2 months, with optimism for an imminent U.S.-Iran agreement driving oil prices lower and hawkish Fed rhetoric keeping gold under pressure. Brent crude oil has fallen more than 35% from its mid-May high, while gold remains 22.5% below its peak in January.
So do you still see upside from here?
Good question. Well, we believe current oil prices overestimate how quickly traffic through the Strait of Hormuz will return to pre-war levels and how quickly shut-in production will recover, and we expect gold to top $5,000 an ounce over the next 12 months. In addition, El Niño-related risks may support agricultural commodities, while the AI boom and electrification remain positives for industrial metals.
And beyond the price outlook, why else do broad commodities matter for portfolios?
Absolutely. Equally important in our view are the roles broad commodity exposure can play in a portfolio context.
Let's start with diversification. How do commodities help there?
The relationship between stocks and bonds has varied over time. Bonds offered strong diversification benefits with a negative average rolling correlation versus the S&P 500 between 2000 and 2019. But that correlation has spent more time in positive territory since 2020. Commodities, meanwhile, have historically shown low correlations with equities and bonds, particularly when stock-bond correlations are elevated and over longer investment horizons. That means an allocation to commodities may offer a differentiated source of return in portfolios.
What about inflation hedging?
Well, high and unexpected inflation is one of the most harmful risks for portfolios because it usually results in negative returns for both stocks and bonds. Commodities can help hedge inflation largely because they are directly embedded in inflation measures. Energy and food, for example, typically represent around 20% of U.S. consumer price indices. Research shows that commodity returns are positively correlated with inflation, have provided effective long-run inflation protection, and have been particularly sensitive to unexpected inflation.
And how do you think about downside protection?
Improved diversification can reduce overall portfolio volatility and enhance risk-adjusted returns, but it does not necessarily prevent drawdowns, especially when asset returns are not independent or normally distributed. Comparing historical drawdowns shows that a 10% addition of commodities often reduced losses in periods when stocks and bonds were positively correlated. While broad commodities have not consistently lowered volatility during severe market stress, gold stands out as having more consistent defensive properties. That reflects the cyclical nature of sectors such as energy and industrial metals, which are more economically sensitive and often decline in risk-off environments.
So, what does that mean for implementation?
While investing in commodities carries specific risks, such as shifting supply-demand dynamics, geopolitical events, regulatory changes, and operational disruptions, we think the case for broad commodity exposure is strong. We also favor an active approach, as individual commodities can offer return enhancement opportunities when there is a clear view on spot price appreciation.
And what kind of allocation may make sense for investors?
Well, optimal commodities allocations depend on investor objectives, risk tolerance, and market conditions, although historical analysis and contextual factors suggest that a low to mid-single-digit allocation may be appropriate for investors willing to accept periods of underperformance in order to seek additional diversification and inflation sensitivity.
Okay, and where can listeners find more detail?
Sure. For more information, you can read our report, Investing in Commodities, From Investment Rationale to Portfolio Reality, which was published on the 22nd of June, 2026.
Great. Thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. June payrolls came in below expectations. U.S. non-farm payrolls increased by just 57,000 in June, below forecasts for a gain of 113,000 and below the 129,000 recorded in May, which was revised lower from 172,000. Downward revisions to prior months brought the three-month moving average to 111,000 from 188,000 previously. Although the jobless rate fell to 4.2% from 4.3%, that reflected a falling participation rate rather than stronger demand for workers. Meanwhile, average hourly earnings rose at an annual pace of 3.5% from 3.4%, marking a pause in what had been a steady downward trend. Our view is that the latest jobs data eased investor fears about imminent rate hikes from the Federal Reserve, with futures pricing pushing back a rate increase to December from October. But we still think that is too hawkish, as there are few signs of labour market overheating. The absence of rapid wage increases in the data should help reassure Fed officials that the risk of a wage price spiral remains limited. We believe the Fed will keep rates steady in the near term and see scope for markets to scale back expectations for Fed tightening. We continue to favour short to medium maturity quality bonds. Japanese stocks also took a breather. Japan's Nikkei 225 saw choppy trading in semiconductor and AI-related shares on Friday following the sell-off in US chip stocks on Thursday. Trading was mixed, with consumer discretionary stocks leading gains while communication services and IT lagged, reflecting a modest rotation toward more domestic and cyclical areas. Thursday's 0.9% fall in dollar-yen was also in focus, sharpened by the US non-farm payrolls miss and market concerns over potential FX intervention. At the same time, stronger manufacturing and retail data suggested the domestic backdrop remains resilient. Our view is that Japanese equities remain attractive, supported by a healthy corporate backdrop and a continued earnings upswing, with fiscal 26 profits likely to rise by around 10%. AI remains a core theme given Japan's role in the global AI value chain, but we also see scope for cyclical catch-up in machinery, financials, construction, selected autos, and leisure as supply conditions improve and cost pressures ease. Strong sustained share buybacks should help support the downside, while foreign inflows remain a key upside driver, with particularly strong flows seen from European-based investors. Looking ahead to the 6th of July, markets will be watching Germany factory orders for May, Eurozone retail sales for May, and the US ISM Services PMI for June. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.